And I want to tie two things together. The first words that Jesus told his disciples and the last words that he told his disciples. Okay? First words that he told his disciples and the last words that he told his disciples. They kind of go together. There's a lot of things in between. But the first and the last, I think, are very important. If we don't put them together, we can't get everything to flow right and where it should be. Before we do that, we told our kids, before we go back home and take you off to college, we'd like to give you a chance to visit a place in Kenya that we haven't been there yet. We try to do fun stuff. We try to do these things with the kids to, you know, throughout, to make life over there fun and not just, you know, homeschooling and headmaster and, you know, making sure they got their grades right and everything. We want them to have fun too. So we allowed them, they said, you know, our girls were the first ones to go in 2015. Abigail and Brianne went to college at the same time. Brianne kind of hurried up a little bit. They're a year apart. And Abigail waited a little bit so they could go at the same time to be, you know, sisters there. And they said, we want to go to Mombasa, which is on the coast. We went snorkeling or tried to go snorkeling. We almost got lost out there and the tide was going out. We had to hurry up and get back and everything. We got, you know, the, what's the little prickly things? Sea urchin in the foot. And they helped us by using papaya to help get it out. So it was a, you know, a local thing that they helped us with and to know that. So if you ever have that problem up here in Oklahoma, you know. So anyway, and then our girls said, we want to go see Mount Kenya. So we go driving up there, and I've had a webcam. They have some webcams that look at the mountain, and when it's clear day and that kind of thing, you can see it, and maybe you have a two-day window. Look at the weather and watch everything, because most of the time it's behind the clouds. Like you saw a picture there in there, there's a lot of clouds surrounding it. So we just want to go see Mount Kenya. I was like, that's a big deal. You know, it's hard to see it. So we have to plan our trip. And so I looked at it, and we're about 7-8 hours from there. We have to stay in Nairobi a night and then drive another 3 hours up there. And so I was looking at the webcam, scheduling my work and doing those things and looking at the weather and all this kind of stuff. And we found a day, we went up there and we saw some other animals in the area that they have in a game park. And we went to another park and did some sightseeing and then got pictures in front of the Mount Kenya and all this kind of stuff. And it was fun. Everybody was good. I don't think we put it on a t-shirt or a mug or anything like that, but everybody got their own pictures, you know, their individual pictures next to Mount Kenya, and all that was fun and good. They went to college and everything was good. 2019, my son wants to go to college and it's time for him to go home. And so I asked him, what do you want to do? He said, I want to go to Mount Kenya. I was like, we did that. You don't remember that picture? We did that. He said, no, I want to go to Mount Kenya. So he wanted to climb it. 17,000 feet, snow cap. The only place you can find snow in Kenya. Second largest in Africa. And so I said, well, we got to figure out how to do this. So I started asking some other missionaries. They pointed me to the different people, and they said, you know, these are guys that you can talk to in that area, and they can give you advice. And one of them told me, go to this website. It says, go to mountkenya.com. And I saw all the details of how to go, how to prepare. There's people die up there with high altitude sickness. If you go up too fast, your body can only handle and acclimate 3,000 feet per day. And so you have to go up and stay a night. You have to go further up and stay a night and those kind of things. And so I got all this direction and got a contact, what you're supposed to bring, what you're supposed to eat, how you're supposed to exercise, condition yourself for all this kind of stuff. And it was all on this website, go to mountkenya.com. And I actually went back and visited that again a few years later, and it's still there. So if you want to go to Mount Kenya, go help yourself. So when I talked to the guide and everything was good, he said, you have to follow me and go with me, because I've been doing this for 18 years at that time. He's been up and down that mountain, up and down that mountain. And our goal was to go up one side of the mountain, climb to the peak, and come down the other side of the mountain. I had no idea how long it was, but it ended up being 50 kilometers on foot for 3 days, sleeping in a tent. And so took all my braces, you know, you got a knee brace, I didn't have a back brace, but took all those things that I could help make me go. And he said, follow me. Eat what we tell you to eat. Eat what we give you to eat. Wear what we tell you to wear. They gave us boots. They gave us, backpacks and trekking gear and the sticks and all this kind of stuff. And we had to follow the leader that had already been there before. Yes. And you have to follow a guy that's been there. Yeah. And he's been there a number of times to be able to go through any circumstance that you go through. Right. You know, following is simple. Is that true? But it's not always easy. Right. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, it says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. People go out into the wilderness trails in Northwest territories and that kind of thing, and they go trekking and that kind of stuff, but they have problems with what's out there, and these are some things that were on the comment cards. Following is simple, but it's not always easy. A lot of things on the comment cards were, there's too many bugs and leeches out here. There's too many rocks up in the mountains. There's too many, you need to put chairlifts and pave the pathways so that things would be easier. Eradicate the noisy animals at night that keep us up at night. There was a deer came in and stole my jar of pickles. Can I get reimbursed? You know, there's all kinds of things that people complain about when they go somewhere. I even read something recently that was just, I don't know, it came across the screen on Facebook. So I figured I'm not reading them all. But anyway, one of them was like, yeah, the tourist guide said, you know, everything will be fine if we go to Spain and go visit the monument, different things over there. The problem was everybody spoke Spanish. Why didn't y'all tell us about that? Why didn't you teach them English so we could understand them? You know, so you kind of have an idea. You're going somewhere, you know, it's different. You got to follow the leader. Jesus told his disciples, each one of them, follow me. He took them from different sections of life, different fishermen, tax collector, just people from all walks of life. And he said, follow me. He even told people to follow him that said, I'll be ready and I'll be willing to do that. But let me go do this first. Let me bury my father. Let me do this. Let me take care of this. Let me finish my life. Let me finish what I want to do, and then I'll follow you. But Jesus said in that verse, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I like how the Word of God helps us and it preaches even in little sections. He said, follow me. That's enough for some people. But he also said, follow me and I will make you. What do you want to be? How do you want to be? You want to please God? You want to do everything that God wants you to do in your life? What kind of man do you want to be? What kind of woman do you want to be? God will make you what he wants you to be. And he'll make you exactly the way that he made you to be. Amen? He will make you, but he'll make you fishers of men too. Amen? He'll make you a soul winner, make you reach out to people, make you care about people, make you love people. He will make you someone that doesn't think about themselves, make you fishers of men. Amen. So the invitation is loud and clear. If we look at Matthew chapter 4, we read through 18 to 22, we see all the people that Jesus Christ said, follow me. Mark chapter 1, 16 to 20, to Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, follow me. Yeah. To Philip, follow me. Matthew, follow me. All the disciples in general, even you and I today, follow me. And everyone has this invitation. If you're saved by the grace of God and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, that invitation is to you. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. I don't know if we can say that enough, but follow me. When we followed him to go to Kenya, we didn't know where we were going. We didn't have an idea what city we would be in, but we knew that God was in front of us. We knew we had to follow the leader. We knew we had to get behind him and follow his direction of open doors, just like Paul did in the directions that he went. God wanted him to follow him to different places. He found the man of Macedonia was shown to him in a vision when all the other doors around him were closed. God was directing him to follow him wherever he wanted him to go. The conditions must be met. Anybody that's saved can follow him. Matthew 16, 24. We can turn over there real quick. Matthew 16, verse 24. It says, and Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man, can we say woman? Because that's a woe man. It's the woe man. That's what Adam said when he saw Eve, you know. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's just like, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But after you're saved, if any man can deny themselves, forget yourself, think about others, think about Christ, think about God, forget myself and think about him, carry his cross, take up his desires, take up his burden, take up his desire in my life and follow, and then I can follow him. The condition must be met. We have to deny ourselves. We have to take up his cross. A lot of people complain about the cross that they have to bear. I'm not going to get deep into this because it's not my message. But a lot of people complain about the cross they have to bear. I had a hip surgery. I had a problem with my leg and I couldn't stand. I couldn't walk. I couldn't drive. I couldn't sit for more than 30 minutes. It was a problem. I could call it my thorn in the flesh. But listen, it didn't happen because I was preaching the gospel. It happened because I didn't have enough cartilage between my bones. And the bones were knocking each other and cracking and popping. And that's just a physical problem. It didn't bring a spiritual problem to me, so it wasn't my cross. A lot of people complain about physical ailments. That's not our cross. Our cross is taking up his burden as being our burden. What he wants, his desire for lost people to be saved, as our burden, as what he wants, as his meat is to fulfill the great commission and God's will in his life in John chapter 4, and that's being our meat to do what God wants to be done in this world. Jesus is no longer here. Did anybody know that? Did you already know that? Jesus is not here. He has us here to do what he wants us to do, to do what he wants to do. So the conditions must be met. Anyone must deny themselves, carry the cross, and follow him. It's simple, but it's not always easy. Where is God taking me when I follow him? Where does God take me? Look at these missionaries. Every one of them followed the same God, and God took them to a different place. God took them to a different ministry. None of them are doing the exact same thing. They're all doing what God wanted them to do. But where's God going to take me? He's going to take me down my path for him. Amen? He's going to take me into the place where I can serve him and reach this generation for Christ. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of people that are lost and without Christ. These people that are dying today, they're part of our generation. They're part of us. They're part of us. They are us. If we did not have someone to show us the gospel and present to us Jesus Christ, we would be one of those on those pathways to hell. Yeah, that's right. But God has chosen us in this pathway, and you and I, to follow him. The direction is life of salvation is his cross. The life of sacrifice is my cross. That's where he's taking me. That's where he's guiding me. A life of service, Mark chapter 10, 44. If any man will serve me and take up his cross, take up my cross and follow me. A life of separation, 2 Corinthians 6, 17. When we follow him, we separate ourselves from everyone else that wants us to follow them. Everybody's got Facebook, right? How many followers, not how many followers do you have, but how many people are you following? If we think about it like that, you know, we want to count how many people are following us, young people. I got this many followers. I put this picture on there and 100 people liked it. 1,000 people liked it. 5,000 people, it kept going and kept going. A lot of people liked it. But let's look at how many people are we following. Is there a way to count that on Facebook? We follow a lot of different things in our lives. Christ wants us to follow him. And if we can follow Christ, there's not going to be too much else in this world that we can follow. He keeps me busy. I don't have time to look at Facebook. My wife tells me about what's going on in the States. And then when we get ready for furlough, she runs me down a big long of list of who got married, who died, who pastors where, who changed who's doing this, who's doing what, who had a baby, all this kind of stuff. It's like I'm in class, you know, and she's got this little thing to try to help me get in tune with what's going on over here. But I'm so involved with over there that I'm just following the Lord, what he opens the door for me. We need to follow the Lord. Then also he leads us to a life of satisfaction. That's what Paul said. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I don't need. There's a lot of people that are needy. I need. Listen, God takes us to a life of satisfaction that everything is taken care of. Even if it's not taken care of, even if we can't hold it and we can't see it, and we can't know it, we know that God is in charge of it and God will make it come to pass, that God is in control of it. He said, follow me. There's courage to face any fear when we're following him, any problem when we're following him. Favorite saying of a missionary is, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. Right? But there's excuses that people make. And those people that said, I would follow you, but... Luke chapter 9. Turn with me there. Luke chapter 9. I will follow you, but... Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. How many people have surrendered to the Lord and come to the altar and said, God, I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. If. Or when. If you do your part. When this happens or how this happens. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So if you want to follow him, don't expect a pillow. Amen. I mean, that's what he's telling them. They didn't talk about pillows. I don't know if they had pillows back then or whatever, but he says, I don't know where I'm going to lay my head tonight. Feels like he's probably on deputation or furlough in a different bed every night. But that's what he's telling his disciples. And he said unto another, follow me. That wasn't his disciple. Let me say this. He just met him on the side of the road. He sees people following him. And he said, I'll follow you. I'll go. All he has to do is get in line. But he wanted to make a big deal about it and everybody know who he was and what he was going to do. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I have a question for this guy. How old is your father anyway? Some people are saying, I need to wait until all my family is gone and dead, and then I'll follow you. I cannot say from this verse and what I say here that this man is on his deathbed. His father's on his deathbed. Can you tell that? His father was in his way of him following Christ. So who is he following? He's following his dad. As soon as he gets out of the way, I can't see anybody else in front of me, then I'll follow you. Jesus said unto them, let the dead go bury their dead. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And also another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Remember what Elisha did something like that. He said goodbye to his cows and his oxen, burned them all up, and the people ate it, and he left. That was his goodbye. I don't know what this man means by saying goodbye. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So when Jesus says, follow me, he's walking. And he's not walking to where you need to follow him. He's walking in the pathway that he has for your life. He's going ahead and putting your footprints down so that you'll know where to follow. And when he says, follow me, and you hear that voice talking to you, that you need to follow him, you need to get in behind him no matter what is going on in your own life. No matter what is struggle you're having, maybe the struggles are there because he's told you to follow him and you haven't started yet. Remember, if we follow him, he shall bring it all to pass. He will help it all work out. Excuses that people make is their family, their health, their life, their friends, their work, their career. This is my life. This is what I want to do. God bless what I'm doing. God bless the work of my hands is a prayer of most people. But it's not let my hands do your work. My finances, it's my money. It's my time. It's my things. It's my house. It's my home. What am I going to do with all of this stuff if I follow Christ? What are you following then? Says, I don't know where it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know why. I don't know how far God's going to lead me. I don't know what is going to happen. If you get right behind God, right behind the Lord, he will take you to any place he wants you to go. And he will not take you anywhere he doesn't want you to go. You just have to follow him. Remember, following him is simple, but it's not easy. Some are good, some are happy, some are fun, they're encouraging, some are sad, some might be harmful, some might be fearful, but all we need is the one that's leading the way and follow his footprints. Let's go back to the verses that I was talking about. Matthew chapter 4 says, follow me. When I was looking up, trying to find a way to follow a guide to go to Mount Kenya, it took me to gotomountkenya.com. So if I'm going to follow God, if I'm going to follow the Lord, then I need to go to Matthew chapter 28. Amen? There's no other, that's the first thing that God told him is follow me. The disciples followed him on this pathway for 3+ years of healing, of preaching, of teaching around the Sea of Galilee, in the shores, the examples of trusting him, making the seas calm. And when it's time for him to go up to heaven, he told him one thing: you can still follow me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go ye into all the world.com. I don't know if we can do that.
There you go.
But if you want to follow him, that's where you go. Amen. You'll go to the part of the world that God has his pathway in front of you for you to go. Where does God want you to go? Exactly in the place, and you'll be safest in the place where God has you, because he's going with you. We're talking with Autumn a little bit about Swahili and those things, and I don't know if she understood anything up there, but that's the language she'll be coming back here speaking, I hope. He'll take you to a place like us. John 3:16 says, Komana jinsi hii Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu hata akamtoa mwanawe pekee ili kila mtu amwaminie asipotee bali awe na uzima wa milele. Anybody willing to get saved from that? You know, I don't know. Are you following me? But it takes you to a place where you can do things you never thought was possible. But God will make it possible. Our pastors, I always had problems, and I hadn't been too bad tonight for stuttering, but I always had problems stuttering in English all the way up through high school. Now, our pastor came to Kenya, and I was preaching in Swahili, and he said, man, you were made for this language. I didn't hear you stutter one time. He doesn't know the language, but God makes us for what he wants us to do. He prepares us. He prepared me. And when I was running the bus routes, and I started having a heart for looking across the world and seeing the world that needs to be saved, and specifically African. I was praying for African countries and every place over there in Africa that God, which place did you want me to go to? And then all I could see down the streets of my bus route, the only ones I could see are the black kids. And I left the church with the white secretary, and me, I was white on the outside, but I came back with nothing but black kids. Because those were the kids that needed help. Those were the kids that needed to hear the gospel. And those were the people that God blended my heart with. God prepares you to where you need to go. Now, I'm afraid of you guys. There's a bunch of white people in here. If I was down here, I'd be speaking Spanish. If I lived down here full time, I'd be speaking Spanish. Because all the Spanish people. I forget English here too, anyway. But where does God take us? Follow me to the hospital. Where a mother was poisoned because she was going to have a girl instead of a boy. And she was left on the side of the road putting bleach in her tea. Her husband put bleach in her tea. She was left by the side of the road, and our ladies picked her up, member of our church, picked her up and took her to the hospital. Follow me to the hospital. Where her baby, I don't know, maybe 3 month old? Is that even possible? That's probably not even right. But born at maybe 6 months. Just a little bitty thing. You got space in your hand left after you hold the baby. Of course, ICU, they didn't allow that. But then the baby died. The mama left. The hospital disposes of the body. And the nurses there asked me, says, there's 10 other babies here that have been left. Can you help us with them? Follow me there and look at those ladies in the eyes. What would you tell them? Follow me to the hospital bed where this man is dying. Because he hit his motorbike on a rock and it ripped his stomach. And I'm witnessing to him and he wouldn't get saved. And his wife is there holding his hand. The next day he dies. Follow me there. Where all the beds are full of people. And they said, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us? Would you pray for us? Can you help us? You know, you want to be like Jesus. You want to be Jesus there for a second. I know how Jesus would have done this, but all you can do is pray. Follow me down the road to Visitation where you find a girl that had just died the night before and they're waiting for the mortician to come and put a needle of stuff in her body while they wait each and every day before the funeral. Follow me there. You say, I don't want to go there. I didn't want to go there either. But the Lord's footsteps took me there. But to kneel down there and pray with them and they know they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there's nothing more sweeter than that. And God had a reason for all of it to happen. Follow me there. And Edward, that was on the screen, they've met Edward. Edward helped us start a church with Brother Smith, and recently they had a little outing thing at a fair, and what I heard is over 50 people got saved, most of them kids, teenagers, and Edward is there with him. Edward wants to go to his village and start a church, But Edward got saved because one of the youth that came to our church, our youth camp, got saved, got a Bible, won a Bible for memorizing verses. He went back out there. His name is Matthew. He led Edward to the Lord. Edward married his sister. It's a long story with this Bible. Edward gets saved and he comes back to Kisii and he said he's old enough to join Bible college. He joins Bible college and he's winning people all over the city with that Bible that Matthew won at youth camp years before. Follow down that path of where that Bible has gone. He had a ministry to the university and people were getting saved, so and they wanted to read the Bible and more people wanted to pass it on. He just checked it into the library. Use this book and you can get saved. So people were getting saved and he doesn't know. He left and went to another place. He left the Bible there. Somebody else came upon the Bible, a church member. And he said, hey, this is Edward. This is our Edward. This is his Bible. Man, it's got fingerprints and mud prints and everything else on it. I don't know. He took it and he said, I need to go find it and give it back to Edward. Edward's got it now. For now, as far as I know, he still has it. And he's still winning people to Christ with that same Bible. Follow me down that pathway. There's some good. There's some fun times. There's some joyous times. But there's also some difficult times. Where does God want you to follow him? Where does God want you to follow him? To the burial? And I could be here all night. I don't want to take time for everything. But follow me to a new place in the Maasai villages. For about 10 hours from where I live, but from the one church, it's another 5 hours. The first church that we started to the second church. Follow me down that road where we're going up over a mountain range and down through the rivers. We get to a place where a car is stuck. We pull them out of the mud, and 4 people get saved there just because we helped somebody, and everybody's sitting there watching. Stop and say hi to somebody because it's part of the guy's family that's taking us in there. The guy's name is Noah, taking us to his village. He's as old as Noah, I think, but taking us out there in the Maasai village. He said, this is my family. Let me stop and let's say hi to him. We're almost home. Stop there and a few more people get saved just because he's saying hi to them and other people pull up. There's no cars out there. And so they see a big truck. And so they say, hey, there's somebody here. There's a white man here. Let's see what's going on. We pass out tracts and people get saved. Follow us down that road where I accidentally hit a motorbike, a boda boda, that was on the wrong side of the road. Man, I felt bad. I felt real bad. We're going in there to reach these people. And I'm tearing up their stuff. You know, I'm running over them. Man, I felt bad. My heart just sunk. The guy gets up. We help him with a little bit of first aid. Other people come around and because they heard some noise and people just traveling. There wasn't much on that road. Took him to the hospital. Took his bike into town to get it fixed and worked on and stuff like that. Took his bike back home after it got fixed. Took him back home after he got done with the hospital at the hospital. And those people said, hey, can you come here and start a church? Because most people would have left him on the side of the road. So the gospel witness has started, people getting saved. Another village has a Bible study starting out of the second church that we started. And they're going to be ready, I hope, to start another church as soon as we get back. Follow me down those roads where it's difficult. I was sleeping in a tent. There's a curfew at 7 o'clock. Elephants come through at night. I'm just praying that I don't have anything that they smell. A leopard came through and got a goat out of about 100 yards from where I was sleeping. They said the goat was snoring more louder than I was. But follow me to those places. Come on. That's where God's led me. That's where God's taken me, and that's the safest place I could ever be. In the middle of COVID, we were locked down over there. My first baby girl got married here. We were in lockdown. We were on video. My dad passed away. Listen, God's going to take you places where you don't think you can handle anything. Me and Mama looked at each other. We can't do this. We don't have a choice. We have to do this. This is the life that God chose for us. He says, follow me. Are you willing to follow him? In closing, let me say this. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you're not fishing, you're not following. If you're not soul winning now, you're not following him and knowing the things that you know. You're not doing the things that you know. You need to follow him. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. If you're not serving him with what you have and what you are and your mouth and your testimony, if you're not serving him, then you're not following him now. How would you listen to him if he said, follow me? Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. If you're not denying yourself and you're not struggling or striving to fulfill God's will in your life, then you're not following him. My sheep, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If you're not listening to what he tells you from God's word, if you're not reading God's word to listen to him, if your heart is not open to know what God wants to tell you, then you're not following him. Matthew 19:21, go sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and follow me. If you're not giving, then you're not following. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How can we follow him without missions? How can we do this? Come to Kenya. Anybody willing to come to Kenya?
Yeah.
Come on. You want to come to Kenya? You don't have to buy a plane ticket. But you can pray for those Kenyans. Yeah. And you can go to Kenya every morning, as well as every other place around this world. You can go there in your prayers. Amen. You can go there in your desire. You can go there in helping to give and so that somebody else can go. You can go. You can follow him. And when God tells you it's not enough, like he told me, he said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. I prayed with all my heart, every missionary that came to our church went to the field. I don't know if they all went, but I prayed that they did. And as far as my book was, if I saw that missionary, I know God helped him get to the field because I prayed for him. There was a time my prayers weren't enough. I had to do the going. I gave as much as I could to missions. Over $100 a week is what I was given to missions as a young person, unmarried, didn't have any bills, didn't have a wife. But I gave as much as I could until it was not enough. And God said, I want you to come with me. Thank the Lord, he kept saying, follow me. What's he telling you tonight? What's he asking you tonight? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you.